guys. Welcome back to Spoilers, your weekly movie podcast on the Rat Pack Podcast Network, where we spoil the movie for you in both content and story. This is your host, Hollywood. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Maestro and Adam. Say hello, guys.
Yo.
Hello, guys.
This week we saw Last Action Hero,
yeah. And
we're going to give a review on it. But top of the show, we're going to go into movie news.
Excellent.
Excelsior.
We got some interesting movie news this week. First one up. In a recent Two Guns promo interview, Mark Wahlberg has expressed serious interest in taking over the role of Iron Man from Robert Downey Jr. once he calls it quits on playing the Armored Avenger.
No.
What are your thoughts on Wahlberg playing the hottest superhero in the world right now?
Mark Wahlberg?
Yes. Marky Mark.
He doesn't have a personality.
No.
I know.
No.
How?
He's too one-dimensional. In every role that he does, he has range a little bit, but...
Wait.
Yeah, if you want like a Boston fighter guy.
He's got range in that arena.
Is there anything close to what the Iron Man should be?
The smart acidness? I don't think
he's ever done anything like that, has he?
Maybe in Departed he was kind of a prick, but...
Departed.
But he was like a Boston prick. You need a suave, cocky guy.
Yeah, how does that even work?
It should be Vince Vaughn if somebody's going to take over. Vince Vaughn's got that kind of fast-talking attitude.
Yeah, but he has like no figure whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, fine. That's what the suit's for.
Oh,
just make the suit bigger
this guy.
Or something.
I'm surprised it's Mark Wahlberg. I'm surprised it's not like Channing Tatum or someone. Like he's like the hot guy right now to get movies.
My question is, this is just wording. It's just news saying like, I want to play him. Yeah, it'd be great.
It's nothing official. It's just, like I said, it was a promo interview
for
Two Guns.
He just tweeted, I want to be Iron Man.
And he just said, I'd be interested in playing Iron Man. So then, of course, the fucking media spun it into this. Do we have the next Iron Man? And here we are reporting it.
Yeah, right.
Like idiots.
Well, then maybe we should just stop reporting it then.
Yeah, I think that's a bad idea. I can't see him doing much of anything. I mean, I enjoy his movies, but he's not Iron Man. Iron Man it takes a very specific type of person to play that, and he does not have that.
Not at all.
No. He's good at what he does, but
he is a god. So the man part makes sense.
Okay,
that's about as far as it goes, I think.
And you put him in the suit, and it's Iron. But no.
No.
No personality.
Has he even done anything close to a superhero movie? Not off the top of my head.
Nope.
I can't think of anything, really.
No.
I'm drawing a blank.
He had the powers of a giant penis in
That's right.
Studio. What is it called?
Oh, Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah, that's right.
Supposedly, yeah.
That's true.
I don't know. Some people call it super.
Next bit on the news. According to MoviePilot.com, Warner Brothers is considering paying Christian Bale $60 million to reprise his role as Batman in the forthcoming blockbuster film Superman vs. Batman.
No way!
Over at Fox... Reports are coming in that they are prepared to pay Hugh Jackman a record high $100 million to reprise his role as Wolverine in four upcoming X-Men franchise films.
Mm-hmm.
Are these guys really worth more than most pro athletes to play superheroes?
Yes. Yes.
Hugh Jackman, yes, I would say. He's a fantastic Wolverine. Mm-hmm. As far as Christian Bale's Batman...
You don't want
to
hear him.
You have to take it to
Superman, I came down here.
He never liked the voice to begin with, so there's never the heart. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, no, he's done anyways. Isn't he the whole thing? He retired or whatever?
Yeah,
he gave it to little Robin.
Yeah, he says he doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But Superman vs. Batman would technically be a reboot. And here we are back in the reboot.
Yeah.
Aren't they rebooting Batman anyway?
Yeah.
Isn't that coming up?
That's the Superman versus Batman. That's going to be the new rebooted Batman.
Oh.
The main reason why is because...
Well, then you can't use old Batman. As
no.
People. It wouldn't make sense. You would confuse your audience.
Yeah. I guess the main thing about it is they didn't want to remake the suits because they already fit Christian Bale.
Right, That's why they made so many Shrek movies. They got the animation already set up. It's just going to be easier just
see,
to
that
make
makes sense.
Move around.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But $60 million to pretend to be... character.
If you think about it this way, all the money that they're taking into remanufacturing, you know, it might be okay. I mean, like, you have to. No, I got nothing.
Well, you also got to think about how much it's going to bring in. I mean, if it's going to bring in $1 billion, then that's a small price.
Well,
to pay.
It's going to anyway. It's
exactly.
Superman vs. Batman.
Right. But so maybe he's leveraging that. Like, if you're going to make so much money, you need to give me some of that.
Well,
too.
He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it.
Warner Brothers is saying, we're going to give you $60 million. And he's like, I don't want to do Batman anymore.
Maybe that's why it's so high then, to convince him.
And think about it this way. Superman versus Batman is actually a name from the, I guess, this Vietnamese or Thai guy. It's on his driver's license. It says Superman's the Batman or something like that. That's his actual full name.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not joking. You can look it up. It's actually there.
Is that McMuffin also?
No.
Was that from Stud Muffin? What's his name? McLovin.
McLove.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
All right.
No.
Before we get to the next bit of news, have you noticed since we did doing the show, I talk about the same stuff, reboot, prequel, remake, superhero, prequel, reboot. That's all we're getting.
That's the movie
industry. That's all we have. Now. Yeah.
That's what it's become. That's what they do because that's what makes money. Everything else doesn't matter anymore.
The second they make a movie for Booster Gold, I'm out.
Do
you know who that is?
What is that?
He's a very obscure DC Comics hero.
Well, I got the obscure part.
He's from the future, and he went back in. I think he's an athlete from the future.
Yeah, like Flash Gordon.
Sort of, and he went back in time to the 90s or the 80s, whenever he was created.
Yeah.
And he wanted to learn the secrets of the past century to become rich in the future.
Okay.
But he got stuck out here. And I want to know what his powers are. He wears a suit. And the reason it's called Booster Gold is because his suit is made of gold, and he has like a gold visor.
Okay.
And he creates like a, sort of like the Green Lantern creates these objects from his ring.
Right.
It's sort of like that, but he shoots like gold beams from his wrists. These wrist gauntlets.
Okay. He's got laser wrists.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's a ridiculous character.
He wants to go back in time to learn how to get rich in the future.
But he gets stuck here, so he has to be a superhero.
Meanwhile, his suit is made out of gold. I feel like he could sell that and become pretty rich.
Shouldn't you just know something already? Like,
yeah.
Hey, invest in this company. Shouldn't you know anything?
Well, he did say he was a sports athlete.
Yeah.
So he put most of his time into sport.
Oh, that explains all the bling.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Next bit of news, went off track a little bit. According to the New York Times, here we are. Something that's not superhero.
Oh.
Something kind of original.
All right.
But not really.
All right.
According to the New York Times, MGM has Creed, a spinoff of the Rocky franchise that will focus on the grandson of Apollo Creed in development, and Sylvester Stallone will reprise his role as Rocky. However, he will be Creed's grandson's trainer.
Okay.
Oh.
What are your thoughts on this?
I actually did hear about this not too long ago, and it sounds interesting. I'm glad that Rocky's going to be not being Rocky, not fighting.
He's hanging the laces up.
Finally. Save some for the sequel.
Yeah.
If he does the Mickey voice while trading Creed?
Oh, man.
How could he even do that to begin with? Oh, he's going something like this.
You gotta hit him high and hit him in the low.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna work. Yeah.
What was it, Balboa? Was that the one he did where he came back?
Rocky Balboa? Yeah.
Yeah, he's already too old for that.
Yeah.
He should have been a trainer in that video, in that one.
And who would be the one to fight then?
Yeah, that's the point.
Oh.
Yeah, he should be fighting.
Yeah, if he's gonna be a trainer, then that's fine. I mean, it's still training on the Rocky name, so it's gonna have that whole,
following.
The following is gonna be there. Creed, I enjoy. That was the, he's in Star Wars too, right? That's the Star Wars guy?
No.
He was in Predator.
Yeah.
Dylan, you son of a bitch. And then they shake hands.
Yeah. Right. That's not the guy from Star Wars.
His name's Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
The guy from Star Wars, Lando Calrissian, is Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that incredibly racist though?
do they look similar at least?
I can see.
Give me something.
I can see where you get
They're
confused.
Men.
I can see.
He was also reading Rainbow, right?
No. now you're stepping that line.
Oh, wasn't he in
Burton,
The Green Mile?
No, that was Michael Clark Duncan.
That was racist as fuck.
That didn't even look close. No, that guy's huge.
And he got the name right, didn't he? He got the name right?
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
I got it.
So
he's got three names. I remember three names more than I remember two names. Michael J. Fox.
Billy Dee Williams. Mm. That's Lando. All
right.
There you go.
But yeah, Carl Weathers was Apollo Creed.
All right.
And the guy who's going to play Creed's grandson is Michael B. Jordan. Have you heard of him?
What?
I thought it was Creed. Oh, maybe I got the story mixed up. I thought
Michael?
It was Creed's actual grandson in real life.
Oh, no.
Little Weathers.
No, his character. No, his character's. His character's grandson.
All right.
Michael B. Jordan was in Chronicle. Did you ever watch that? It was the found footage film of the kids who have the superhero powers.
No.
So it's shot like Paranormal Activity, but the kids have powers. He's a black kid in there. He was good in there. There's a movie hitting Sundance and Cannes called Fruitvale Station.
Okay.
It's very similar to the whole Trayvon Martin story.
Ooh.
It's very similar. It's based on a true story of something that happened in New York on a subway where this kid was defending someone else and he got killed. And Michael B. Jordan playing him, and already all the Oscar buzz is falling on this kid. So his kid's hot right now. So I think this Creed role will
it's
just
like
push his stock even more.
He's
still
hot right now.
What? Well, career-wise, his stock is on the rise.
Okay.
Okay.
Because of these past two movies. And I'm sure this will put him over the top.
Yeah. Now I'm sure it'll be a fine movie, but I don't see myself watching it.
Really?
Right now.
You know, you want, aren't you just curious? Like,
I never got into Rocky to
begin with. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I know that Creed was there, but I don't even think I saw the movie where he was in it. I just like him. I don't know why.
I want to play Eye of the Tiger right now.
Powerful man.
He's tight like a tiger.
Like a tiger.
Like a tiger. But I really want to play Eye of the Tiger right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Can we?
Yeah.
All right.
Last bit of news. The Exorcist and From Dusk Till Dawn franchises are moving to the small screen. According to MoviePilot.com, mm-hmm. these two horror franchises are getting their own TV shows as prequels. So you're going to see Father Marin before he takes care of what was her name? Raven? No, what was her name?
I don't remember.
Whatever her name is in The Exorcist. Yeah. And then you're going to see the bar.
Right.
Because remember From Dusk Till Dawn, they pull away and it's the Aztec temple?
Yeah.
So you're going to see how that came to be.
Oh, okay. So they're pulling a Norman Bates.
Yeah. Okay. These two shows will join other heavyweight horror television shows such as The Walking Dead, American Horror Story, Hannibal, and Bates Motel.
Yeah!
Is horror finally becoming legitimate in the eyes of the public?
Absolutely. American Horror Story is amazing.
It is.
It's the first season was amazing.
Isn't it the third season about a witch coven?
Yeah, it's called American Horror Story Covenant.
Covenant, yeah.
Okay.
And the Precious, that big black chick, she's in there. She's a witch.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Gollum. No.
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 No, the first one was amazing, as far as American Horror Story goes. Uh-huh. The second one, that's...
They had some really good options because it was Asylum. Crazy people, dead, and ghosts, and...
Aliens.
Spoiler
alert.
Sorry, thank you.
I think the reason I didn't like it, the second one, as much was because I was expecting it to be more like the first one, mm-hmm. where it's kind of... Yeah, like being haunted type of mm-hmm. thing. And this is just a weird story. There's some weird stuff in there, but it's not the same level
of weirdness.
And the storylines I don't think are as good. Like mm-hmm. the backstories of the first one was amazing. And it was very good at doing the horror thing. Because it did that line where reality and a little bit not reality. But it was to the point where I was able to buy it, mm-hmm. which is the biggest thing for me. If I could buy it, I'm in. And I was in real good at that one. Not so much with
that was just.
Do you know who created American Horror Story?
No.
No? Well, I don't know if I would tell you this.
Oh no.
You know what? Whisper it in my ear. Whisper
I don't
in my
see
ear.
Tyler Perry.
No.
Okay.
I'll just tell you. The two creators of American Horror Story.
The Wayans Brothers.
One of the guys created Nip Tuck. Do you ever watch that?
Yes!
That's a good show.
Okay.
That's a good show.
Good things.
The other guy who created American Horror Story created Glee.
Oh,
okay. That's
fine.
Interesting.
I like Glee.
Really? I thought you'd be angry.
No.
He likes Glee.
Doesn't make
Wait,
sense.
You like Glee?
Yeah,
Holy
I like Glee.
Holy shit, I never
He likes
that.
Glee.
I like Glee. That's I like musical stuff.
Oh,
that's
never
great.
Mind. Okay. Well, the creator said every season they want to do something different. They don't want to, because they're used to doing shows where, like Nip Tuck, the doctors come back for season two and they come back for season three. They want to try it where every season, you get a brand new set of characters in a new setting somewhere completely different.
But they're recycling characters also. The characters in 2 were also characters in 1, which threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on.
But they want to try different settings.
Yeah.
They want to introduce newer characters.
I'm thinking maybe that was maybe a downfall when they used the old characters for the mm-hmm. new characters.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because, I mean, yeah, people that are following the series could actually confuse things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Confuse the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what? He's a doctor now? That was a gay dude.
Oh,
and Skyler, or Siler.
From Heroes.
From Heroes.
Yeah. Spock.
That guy's an amazing bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Spock.
I forgot to mention too. Rosemary's Baby is being turned into a TV show too.
Oh,
it's just it's like hot right now. Like horror franchises getting turned into TV shows. It's hot.
It's also because Halloween's around the corner too, no?
Was it Walking Dead that started bringing it all back to the light again?
I wouldn't say just Walking Dead only.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the thing that got in the spotlight that kind of mm-hmm. brought it to the forefront again, as far as TV goes anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
Have there been horror TV shows before this?
Oh, yeah. There was Tales from the Crypt,
Twilight
Zone,
Tales
from the Dark Side, Monsters.
That British one, Tales from the Dark Side?
No, it's not. It's an American show.
I thought Monsters was a comedy.
Monsters, yeah. Well, see, Tales from the Crypt and all these, they're anthology TV shows. So every episode, watching, it's like the Twilight Zone.
Oh, I'm thinking Monsters.
So there's never been any, there you go. But there's never been a horror show where it's just, you bring back the same characters and there's drama and all that stuff.
Like Supernatural?
All the big, oh shit. Never mind.
Excellent.
I want Teen Wolf. God, it's bad.
Did you just say Teen Wolf?
Wolf. That's how I say Wolf. That's not true.
No, not true at all.
Wolf. That sounds weird.
That's because you're putting emphasis on the L.
Wheat and wheat.
All right.
Well, that's the news. And now we're getting to the main attraction we watched, and we're going to review 1993's Last Action Hero, directed by John McTiernan, written by Shane Black, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Get to the ground!
Austin O'Brien, Charles Dance, and Robert Prosky. The reason I mentioned the writer, let me put this in context.
Okay.
Do you guys know who John McTiernan is?
No.
Or do you know who Shane Black is?
Nope.
Okay, this movie was made in 1993.
Yes.
This movie was pretty much like in sports, this is like building like an all-star team. So they've got an all-star writer, all-star director.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you the movies John McTiernan has directed.
Okay.
This is before and after Last Action Hero. He directed Predator, Die Hard, The Hunt for Red October, Die Hard with a Vengeance, The Thomas Crown Affair. Shane Black wrote Lethal Weapon, Lethal Weapon 2, The Last Boy Scout, Lethal Weapon 3, Lethal Weapon 4, and he wrote and directed Iron Man 3.
Okay.
So when Paramount was making this movie, they were trying to create like a murderer's row of just like all stars.
That explains a lot.
Now that I explained that, put it in context, you now understand the movie at this bigger picture now, why it is the way it is.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay.
That makes me appreciate it that much more.
Okay. So who wants to give a quick synopsis?
Do you remember the quick synopsis?
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's a kid. He is a, what do we call him? A cinephile?
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody, he's like totally hardcore into movies and he like lives and breathes and hangs out.
Probably an introvert.
Introvert. He's got no friends apparently.
Well,
his only friend is that old creepy dude working in the movie theater.
If he's an introvert, I don't think he'd be acting like that though in the movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
The movie's all excited like, oh my God, I'm in the movie.
Oh, he's a fanboy. But yeah, he's a fanboy for this character called Jack Slater, which is played by Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movies. And so he's going to see a movie that he's in. He's going to catch a midnight showing to watch it, and then the owner of the movie theater gives him a ticket, which is supposed to have magical powers and transport you to a different realm. He ends up getting transported into the movie, and he is living his fantasy pretty much in the movie. And then at one point, they come out of the movie into reality, and they're trying to get the ticket to get back to
the movie
not reality.
To reality.
Right?
Movie
the movie. Yeah. And it's just... You kind of
forgot all the bad guys, though.
Yeah, well, there's bad guys. I mean, we'll get into that.
We'll read synopsis.
Okay, that's like a intro, pretty much.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, good synopsis, Adam. Thank you. So let's dive right in.
Hate you.
That opening scene. I saw this when I was a kid.
Okay. Yeah.
And as a kid, I was like, what the fuck's going on in this movie? But now that I'm older and I've seen other action movies, I appreciate this movie a little bit more.
I see.
And that opening scene is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
When Arnold first appears and he's walking over on the roofs of the car in just snakeskin boots, and they have that like, Lethal Weapon sort of like jet bluesy like thing in the background.
Yeah.
I started busting up laughing. Like immediately I was back into it as a kid again. Like, okay, I'm into this.
Okay. My first thought about that was, if those cop cars were parked so close together, how did they get out of the cars? It's like you couldn't open the door because they're just so close together.
I feel like there's either like a trunk release for everyone to get out from there, or they do go hazard it the whole time.
All right, they just went out through the windows all the way through like a human centipede.
Yes.
Style.
Whoa. No ass to mouth.
No?
No ass to mouth.
And the black captain, right off the bat, he's like, God damn it, Slater, I told you to get down that fucking spinning hall.
Start smoking from the air.
I loved his character.
Yeah, the opening scene was great because it was already super cheesy.
It set the tone for what you're going to watch.
It set the tone. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfectly said. Yeah, I follow my own rules. Screw you, Captain. And just walks into the place and...
Like in Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
This whole movie is full of cliches.
Yeah.
And they just embrace it.
Yeah.
You mentioned how immediately Stallone is doing the fucking cliche. We're like, I'm on my own. I need backup. And Stallone did it right here.
Yeah.
And the line, hey, are you a Vaba? Here's a couple acres. And he kicks him in the balls.
Yeah. I think that means... Just a couple acres?
You're striking your own part. Like, he's a brother. He's a blue brother. Like,
yeah.
They all bleed blue, basically. Bleed blue. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the thin blue line.
I still like the idea. It's like, are you a farmer? That's a fucking earth.
He's a couple acres.
That was the one thing I enjoyed about the movie. There was a bunch of those little one-liner throwaway lines. They were just, it was hilarious, and it was just so stupid.
Uh-huh.
Because at one point, there was a flashback where he's playing Macbeth or something.
Hamlet.
And he's like, to be or not to be.
Not to
huge
be.
Explosion.
Not to be.
It's like those lines that they're meant to be stupid. It's not supposed to be serious. And it's funny enough that you laugh, but you also feel bad for laughing in a weird way. Like, really, I laughed at that.
Oh, right when I started watching this, I thought of you, Adam, because the movie, most of it takes place in the movie world.
Right.
And then the rest of it takes place in the real world.
Yes.
And I remember in the Tangled Cat, no, I remember, I think it was the Over the Top episode.
Okay.
What, the
one of our episodes, you said a movie like Star Wars, it's not in our reality, so I'll accept the fact that there's spaceships and like Jedis and stuff. He says, but a movie like Over the Top where it takes place in our reality, it has to be real.
Right.
So when I was watching all the movie stuff, I was like, that's fucking stupid. I was like, oh, well, he's in a movie world. Like, that's a given. And I was thinking, would Adam have any problems with those in the movie world?
I loved it. I loved everything about this movie because it was
fake.
It was fake. And it was not apologizing for being fake. It's like, we're fake as hell. And they went through it. The little kid was explaining to Jack Slater why the stuff was working out in the movie, because it's fake. It doesn't happen. I mean,
you can't just like get tar to fall off your body like that.
Tar sticks to most people. Is what the kid's saying. Yeah. Just like wipes yourself with a towel.
He's
or something.
Clean with it 5 seconds.
It's like one napkin or something. He just takes everything off. And he was explaining to him also the phone numbers. Everybody in the Blockbuster.
Oh, 555.
Which, by the way, Blockbuster. That was refreshing to see him walking into a Blockbuster.
Oh yeah,
because those aren't around anymore.
Yeah.
And as soon as he walked in, I'm like, oh, that's a Blockbuster. I recognize it. But it's gone. Nobody from this day and age will know that it's a Blockbuster. They just think it's a video
store. What's that?
Yeah, they had videos inside of stores?
Maybe.
It's not a red box?
I think maybe they're going to caption it or overlap the audio. It's like, hey, we're at a Blockbuster. And I was like, hey, we're at a video store.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of things like that where he's pointing out to Slater that this is why it's a movie. The 555 number, everybody in the store had the same phone number.
All the women are hot. There's no average looking girl.
All the time.
There's a cartoon cop.
Yeah.
Right.
Now that was like the kicker right there. Come on. If everything else you kind of, I can understand it. That's all you've ever seen, but a cartoon cop.
I mean, Whiskers, I think his name
is. Like Sergeant, Detective Whiskers.
Yeah. It's like Bonkers.
He looked like
he's kind of bonkery from, if you remember that cartoon.
It defies all logic, the fact of him being there, and he still says,
He's like, there's a cartoon cat. Yeah, he's supposed to be here. He's running late. He says something like, it's accepted
and tomorrow
in that
he'll
world.
Be here again. Of course.
It's accepted in this world.
Right, exactly.
And like, the T-1000 just pops in like halfway through.
Ooh, I love that cameo.
What? Oh, I missed that. Oh,
okay, well, we're jumping a little ahead, that opening scene, I really love the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
The guy with the axe?
Yeah.
He was a badass.
Yeah. That's the guy from RoboCop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
RoboCop 3,
with Kane.
Yeah.
With the drug.
Yeah.
Neck drug.
That's him, yeah.
It becomes his own, like, he becomes his own robot.
Dude, that off-topic. Axe was fucking sweet.
That was nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he throws the axe at him, Schwarzenegger's
barely dodging it.
Barely dodging it and shoots. Mm-hmm. And then I love how like the film starts like getting all fuzzy and you're like, what happened? And then it jumps to this kid in the real world.
Right. Yeah.
Which I had problems with this kid. Mm. This kid really
annoyed you.
Okay.
Yeah. I know he's supposed to represent us as the average Joe in the movie world.
Yeah.
But fuck, this kid was annoying.
Yeah. Why? What annoyed you?
Just his little whining and just like,
it's like, no, it's not supposed to be like that. Why are you gonna be that? It's not cool.
To
help?
It didn't bother me. I think because I kind of picture myself as that kid. If I got put into a Bruce Willis movie, I'd be going nuts. Just like, I'd be going crazy too.
You know, you're right. That little kid is Adam.
I can totally see that. If I went into a Bruce Willis movie, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I really don't. Wow.
Yeah.
John. Mr. McClane, the reason you're able to survive is because you're in a movie.
Just call your wife. Call your wife.
No, call her now. Seriously. No, hold on a second. You know you're going to get that mark. Oh, too late.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, because I pictured myself in that kind of spot. And just the whole fakeness of it overall. But you don't like the kid?
He was okay. I
can't relate.
You can't relate?
No. I mean, he's annoying as all hell. I mean, the majority of the time, all he does is complain and whine.
I liked every character except him.
Okay.
I even liked the daughter more than the kid.
Yeah, the daughter was hot.
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
And the monster truck, too? That was great.
That was so ridiculous.
Wow. So crazy.
You mentioned the Hamlet scene?
Yeah.
I found trivia on this.
Okay.
The teacher who played the Laurence Olivier Hamlet scene?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was Laurence Olivier's third wife.
Oh.
So remember, she rolls her eyes like, oh, you might recognize him in Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
And she rolls her eyes. It's because he's like the best actor ever. And that's how most people probably remember him. It's fucking Zeus in a shitty 80s movie. People like don't realize he was in Hamlet or he was in Lawrence of Arabia or any of these classic movies. I thought that was cute. I loved the little Hamlet scene.
Yeah, it was cool.
I loved when the voiceover came over. Something's rotten in the state of Denmark. Like that really cheesy movie guy voice just came over. I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I just love how they embrace the cheesiness of this whole movie.
Yeah. Right. And all the, like you're saying, the yelling chief. Mm-hmm. And then that's where it started like getting into the whole, Lethal Weapon that now it makes sense. Uh-huh. More the just yelling, and he's gonna have my ass. I got the, and South Park did a thing about that too. There was an episode in South Park where the kids were playing like junior detectives. And then the guy that's playing the chief, he's like, blah, 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 chief's off my ass, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, literally, it was saying blah, 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 chief's off my ass, blah, blah, blah. It's just cause that's such a stereotype for those kind of movies.
Yeah.
And there was also a scene in the police station where they were like pairing up the cops to be their own like teams, and it was like, real bad cop pairings.
There's
like
a Jewish guy with a big muscle guy.
Right, exactly. And then there's like a nun, I think, in there also too. Like, what the hell is happening? It's a buddy cop pairing, like a Lethal Weapon, like in pretty much every cop movie.
Well, they're nothing like.
Probably even like in Two Guns, I assume it's got that same kind of thing. These two people put together that don't belong together, but they'll make it work somehow. I follow the rules and I don't. All that kind of stuff.
Back to that South Park episode. Yeah. I want to get off track, but Jester.
You don't even need me today. I'm great.
I remember Jester. He used to do this really funny bit. He would do the scene where they're shooting, and he goes like, pew, pew, pew. Yeah. He's like, no, Kenny, it's not pew, pew. It's bang, bang.
Yeah.
He does that voice so good.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, back to the movie. I did have a problem. Okay. Pew, I agree with you. The scenes in the movie world, I bought because it's a movie.
Right.
Like, this shit is understandable. That he flies off a fucking bridge onto a Coke truck and then lands perfectly. I get that. But there's a scene in the movie world right before he goes to the movie theater. And I actually have notes on this. I never caught this until now. Okay. So the old man tells him, oh, I have the new Jack Slater 4 movie that I could screen it for you at midnight tonight.
Right.
So just come back. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the kid's all anxious. His mom leaves to work. Kid's all anxious. It's like 11:15 on the clock. The camera shows 11:15.
Okay. Right.
So he goes out of his apartment and this fucking thug comes in and holds him hostage and he handcuffs him to the sink.
Oh, I know where you're going already. Yes.
So then the guy has his key to the handcuff and he's go swimming. He throws it in the toilet.
Right.
The next scene, it just cuts. He's in the police station.
Right.
Yeah.
And he looks at the clock and it's 11:50 and I go, this whole ordeal took 35 minutes.
Yeah.
How did this kid get unhooked from the sink?
Yeah.
And you're telling me that the cops just run through this and, oh yeah, you're in and out. You'll be fine.
Unless.
And he still made it in time for the midnight showy.
Unless he's right below the police department.
Well, to be fair, also, when he got to the theater, the guy said, I almost gave up on you.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it wasn't midnight. Maybe it was already past later. But still, even so, if I feel like the robber guy would have taken over 30 minutes just to ransack the place to get pissed off. You got nothing in this whole place.
No VCR. Yeah. No shitty TV.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't put that together.
35 minutes?
Yeah, just to ransack the place. So that would have made it midnight already. And then to go to the cop station and sit there and...
That reminds me.
How'd he get out?
Did he take a poop on the table?
What?
What that one bit. Remember?
On the table.
Yeah. Supposedly, I was looking up online. There's this little snippet about a home invasion person that comes in, doesn't take anything, and just poops on the table and leaves.
I've heard of this. I've heard of that.
See, now you've heard of it.
Kind of like the wet bandits from Home Alone, how they turn the sinks on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why I asked.
They're scared of the park. Or the dark. Dark in the first one and park in the second one.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So the old man says, Houdini performed at this theater. He gave me this magic ticket. And he rips the ticket in half and he goes, that's your entrance. Mm-hmm, and he's watching Jack Slater 4 and all this unnecessary exposition coming from the mob boss and Benedict, who's going to be the main bad guy with the glass eye.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
You have all this exposition, like just spewing out of nowhere, just like, so tell me about the drugs and like, let me tell you why the drugs are gonna, and I'm like, oh my God. I don't like all this exposition. Like, get on with the movie.
Yeah. Well, they got to build something for these bad guys.
Yeah. But. So then his ticket activates and boom, we're in the movie world.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, that's when he gets really over the top.
Yeah. It goes, he's in the back seat somehow all of a sudden just falls in an overpass apparently.
What are you looking at me for?
The the TNT, the dynamite, gets kicked out of the theater.
Yeah.
So he's forced to run into the movie theater to escape, and it shows that it gets blown up. Right. And then they come back into the same theater. Theater's pristine. Oh, it didn't get blown up. Did you catch that?
No, I did not. But then, also, go ahead. Oh, God.
You drive a truck through that hole.
Yeah. At the very end of the movie, and I'm jumping way ahead now, but there was the old man tells the kid something about, I think the magic was all in you the entire time, which to me led me to believe that
it's all in his head.
This none of this happened.
Oh.
This is all a dream. Maybe passed out in the theater watching the movie.
Oh, shit. I never thought of that ending.
Yeah.
Well, he has no friends.
That's true.
He lives his life in the movies, and he just basically drove an ambulance through the front door of the theater. I think he's all right.
Yes, because that would also explain the little bits of reality in real life that still didn't make too much sense. Because it just now, I don't know, it could have all been a dream. It's possible maybe that would explain the lack of explosion debris in the theater.
That's pretty good. I never thought of that.
The only thing that holds against that is the fact that when they put Ian McKellen in for death, and he started killing people.
Mm. Gandalf the Black.
Yes!
Or Magneto. Yeah. Dude, he's only in this movie for 2 minutes, but he rocks that fucking role.
Yes.
Like, he owns that shit.
Yes. I mean, like, he just talks to that little kid from, like, what, 25 seconds, 30 seconds tops? And we're like, our jaws drop. We're like, this is awesome.
Nah, I didn't like it.
You didn't like
it? It was useless.
Oh, well.
What do you mean it was useless? It was awesome.
Well, I really liked it because he came from the movie The Seventh Seal. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
It's a very old black and white movie. It's about a man who's playing games with death.
Okay.
He's playing chess with him. And that's the scene, that's the most famous scene in the movie. They're at the beach and they're playing chess. That scene where he, like, looks and he starts coming out of the, that's the famous scene from the, Seventh Seal. But the thing that's really cool is Ian McKellen looks like the actor from the 30s, 40s when that movie was made.
Okay.
And he has that same type of stone cold mannerism behind him. That's why I liked him so much, because he was really a faithful portrayal of the original actor.
Okay.
That's why I really liked him. But I love the bit where he touches the cop on the shoulder. He just taps him, and the guy's like, he just starts choking.
Falls over dead.
That's what he gets for eating hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, this is street dogs, man. Like, hey, every time.
What?
The street dogs.
Rat dogs?
Sure. Street meat. Yeah, that's what
he's not on
it.
My list, but you are, Daniel.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. That was the whole point, was him to tell you you're going to be a grandfather. You're going to have grandkids.
You'll die grandfather.
And by the way, find out the ticket. How does he know about the ticket? How does he know about the other ticket?
He's dead.
If I were you,
I'd
be searching for the other part of that ticket.
Exactly. That's only
thing
that
snooty British voice.
So are you telling me that he's just like an epiphany in the kid's head? Saying that if you don't do something right, death is gonna get both.
Why
of you.
Why was he there? He just showed up in the theater. He saw an ambulance and he followed it, knowing if he's death, he should know nobody is gonna be dead in that scene. There's no reason to go to the theater.
But he does know what's going on.
Oh, he says he holds the gun and he's like, back away. And he goes, I was just curious. Maybe he knows that he's another movie character, and I don't know.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Even if he is a movie character, if he jumps out into the real world, he should supposedly lose his powers. Because remember when Slater was in the movies and he punched the glass windows, and he comes back in?
Oh, that hurt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be an average human being when he comes into this world.
And he didn't have his super sharp shooting skills anymore.
Exactly.
He just had to blow up the cab. Like, what's wrong with my gun? The car didn't explode.
Oh, the car must be bulletproof or armored. No, that's how it is in the real world.
Yeah, it's not a video game.
So then that doesn't really make sense then, does it?
No.
The whole bit. I mean, like.
He was useless. I'm glad he was there. I mean, I like Gandalf the Black. He had no place there.
I didn't know that was him until
I didn't. Either.
I was an adult.
Until a maestro yelled it out. Oh my God! Or whatever. Like, what? What are you talking about? Well, first of all, he had a real bad skin mask or a head,
bald cap.
Bald cap. It was real bad.
You can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Took me out of the movie for a second.
Oh, it was at the end. You were half asleep. You were half asleep.
I woke up.
That. I want to talk about that chase scene, like right when Danny gets transported into the movie world.
Yeah.
That chase scene is so ridiculous. Like, it's so ridiculous. They throw a stick of dynamite at Arnold, and he shoots it with his gun, and it flies back at them and blows them up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you shoot dynamite, wouldn't it
explode? I feel like it would explode. Yeah.
But it explodes with an ice cream truck, and then the cone kills the guy by stabbing him in the back of the head.
Well, it's
that was so
I feel like
funny.
I feel like it plays to the Lethal Weapon thing with the surfboard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I feel like it does the same thing.
Yeah, but this is still in the movie world, so you have to accept it, because it's just that stupid stuff.
I have a question for you, Adam.
Yes.
Was there a turnoff moment in this movie?
Oh.
Because in the movie world, all rules are accepted, because you're in a movie
I did not have one in this movie.
Oh, yeah, you just said it was Gandalf the Black.
But it wasn't a turnoff moment, it was just like,
but I was already at the end.
Yeah,
you can't really turn it off.
Yeah. Turn off without seeing how it actually ends.
You know what, I dare you. Next time we watch a movie, I dare you just to turn it off and just wait for like a couple hours.
No, we're reviewing the movie. I can't just turn it off. I'm like, turn it off. I don't know what we're talking about.
No, I don't say it. Sorry. Not just this movie. I mean, like,
turn it off for 2 minutes. I got nothing.
What, Hollywood, what were we saying?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Chase.
Yeah, that chase scene was just so ridiculous. And the chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken.
No. Yeah, remember Arnold backs his car into the alley and they go, chicken?
For some reason, I thought a chicken got used as a weapon or something. No. Like,
I'm surprised it did it.
That was in Hot Shots. Part two.
Oh, the arrow.
Yeah.
The bow and arrow.
Yeah. All the way to the chest and pops some eggs out of it then.
Remember when he hops the car on two wheels and he starts driving?
Yeah.
Remember Twins?
Yeah.
Did that in Twins?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's right.
I caught that. That was in my notes. I was like, Twins.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in the movie world that still kind of irked me though. Like there was a scene when they were in his daughter's house. And there was the huge gunfight all over the place, and this guy has a shotgun, and he just starts blasting holes in the wall.
Yeah.
And then Schwarzenegger peeks around the corner and grabs the barrel of the shotgun, which should be on fire, because he just fired like 8 rounds from that shotgun. That barrel is like white hot at this point.
Yeah.
He just grabs it and kind of tosses it aside, like, no big deal.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, even though it's a movie world.
It's still kind of like, it also happened in Tango and Cash, when Swayze got shot in the chest.
Yeah.
And like, I was complaining about, he just got shot in the chest, and he gets up and he keeps running. Like, nah. You get shot in the chest, it hurts like a motherfucker.
You mean Kurt Russell?
Oh. Yes. Oh, whoops.
Oh, yeah. No. Did you remember the Tango and Cash where the guy's hiding behind the mirror? Remember this movie? He shoots behind the mirror.
Oh, he's right.
There's always someone back there. There's always someone back there every week, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the movie.
Yeah. That's interesting, too.
There's something back.
The apartment completely empty. Because I assume it was never shown in the movies, so there's no reason for there to be furniture in there.
Because
the kid didn't recognize where he was, so obviously it wasn't in the movie. Him being such a fanboy would know if this was something that existed or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a lot of little stuff like that that kind of shows, yes, you should know you're in a movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
If this stuff, there's just a bed and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I enjoyed the tape recorder thing with his wife.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Explain that scene.
Yeah.
In case you haven't seen this movie.
He walks into the police station, and he's got a call from his ex-wife. And he's like, oh, she's always calling me. Oh, yes. And he starts talking to her for a second. And then he pulls out this old tape deck thing. It's like super, the kind of stuff that if you're like in elementary school and there's like a slideshow, they put this on to play audio for the slideshow. It's like really old, but at the time I'm sure it was happening. And it's just a recording of him doing like, Oh, that's nice, babe.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sure. Just a bunch of those little like comments to keep the conversation going. And then he puts the phone down on top of it and then walks away. So the conversation with his wife apparently is still going on for however long the tape deck is going. I don't know how dumb this wife is, but apparently she doesn't exist. We find out later.
Yeah.
Or isn't actually calling him.
Yeah.
But whatever. That was interesting.
Well, the scene before that is the T-1000 cameo that you missed.
Yeah.
It's when they first walk into the police department. Sharon Stone's Basic Instinct character walks out.
Yeah.
In the same outfit, and she's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, that I caught.
And then the T-1000 walks out.
Oh.
Robert Patrick, he walks out.
And he looks exactly like he did in the movie.
Does that mean that's... How did he... Okay. Think back to Terminator. No. Think back to Terminator 2.
Okay. I'm thinking.
They send him back looking like that, right?
Yeah.
But he comes through naked.
Yeah, but he's Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
It's not like he saw someone and molded his face like that.
Right.
Are we to assume that a T-1000 is on the LAPD in this world?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, yes! I want to see what happens now.
But this is just—it's a movie. So this is like, I think in this movie world, it's like the the Avengers or the DC. This is a DC world. Maybe this is the same kind of world what that is.
Where all the buddy cops are in one spot?
Yeah, because Sharon Stone came out of the police station. She was in the movie.
Yeah.
And also, this is the same world as all those things exist at the same time.
Uh-huh. Well, I was going to bring that up. I have a question, but I'll say that.
Actually, it can't be the same world because Arnold Schwarzenegger is playing somebody else. He can't be Jack Slater and the Terminator.
And, yeah.
Well, the thing about, in the Terminator, he wasn't a cop.
Right.
So
they're he was there. He existed.
Exactly, but they're in a police station.
He's a robot modeled off somebody else. So I guess it could be possible.
Well, okay, I'll just jump into what I originally wanted to say.
Okay.
This is actually a long note I was thinking too.
Okay.
So there's two questions. Are the characters in a constant time loop where they're just reliving the same movie over and over and over again when they get to the credits? So take, for example, I don't know, Predator. Okay. So in this movie world, is this just a time loop where as soon as the credits hit, time starts all over again? Because when Benedict grabs the axe guy,
yeah,
he should be dead in the movie world,
right?
But he's still alive,
right?
So my theory is that as soon as it ends, all the movies just restart all
it's
over.
It's like a Groundhog's Day type of thing?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like a Groundhog's Day.
Or is the movie itself just a glimpse in time in that reality? So whenever you record what you press to, that's where you open up into that world.
And that's another question I had. Do you think in the movie world, so Predator's over, right? So the chop member at the end of Predator, the chopper flies down.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They're like, what the hell happened out here? Does that mean in that realm, Arnold's still like out there, like, I fought the Predator. Like, is that world still continuing? Or did I just blow your minds?
No, you didn't blow my mind.
Or is each movie their own separate world? So is Rocky separate than Rocky 2?
Right.
No, that's a franchise. That's a continuation. Yeah.
You know, those movies all exist in the same place. Like all the Jack Slater movies exist in the same place. But like what I was saying, there's DC world and the Marvel world.
Uh-huh.
In this world, let's just call it the DC world, it's the same world.
It's Terminator. The Jack Slater world.
Yeah, so Jack Slater world, Terminator and Sharon Stone live in.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a different movie it's going to be the Marvel world where a different set of characters exist.
Okay.
But so it's all kind of in that same world in different parts. Like Spider-Man exists in whatever city he's from, and well,
Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Marvel takes place in Manhattan. Okay. DC has made up cities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all kind of happening in different places, but it's all in the same world. So they're all kind of like, I think what Michael was saying is correct. It's kind of like a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
You only see a part of it. The world keeps going. The reality still keeps going in the background, but this is what we're seeing of that one moment.
Like each movie is a portal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it only goes to that one specific time.
But I did have that problem you were talking about as far as the guy coming back with the axe. If for him to come back, he has to be alive, obviously.
Unless, of course, he's alive the whole time.
He fell off the roof.
He fell off the roof.
He got shot.
And he brought his kid with him.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger's kid.
Yeah.
So the kid died.
Yeah.
But he lived?
Yeah, but he saw both the bodies on the floor?
No.
What? There you go.
Ah.
you didn't see the bodies on the ground, did you?
Well, we didn't see the kid's body, but we know he's dead.
Well, that's because it's stated.
Sad photos.
Well, it's stated, but it's not stated that the Ripper is actually, they found the body or anything like that. They didn't say anything about it.
I guess.
You're telling me this guy dropped from atop of a building in front of the whole LAPD and nobody caught him.
Or maybe he was unconscious and they took him and they considered him dead. And then in the ambulance, he breaks out and breaks free. It's been known to happen.
That's a very painful position with that huge stretcher maker.
But it's the movie. It's not the life.
Yeah, okay. Well, the problem I had, though.
But in the movie world, bad guys always lose. But, so therefore.
But for a sequel to occur, he can come back.
He's dead. The next movie doesn't have him in it.
It's the mob. It's the drug war.
Yeah, understandable.
That's why he had to go back to Slater 2 to get him, or Slater 1, whatever he was in.
Yeah.
So, but it was okay. So the problem that I have, though, if he were to bring him out of that movie into the reality, he has to, first of all, be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he hasn't died yet. But he has memories of
that incident on the roof.
Of his final days, of his final minutes.
Yeah.
So how can he have the memories of that while not being dead?
Maybe he watched the movie himself.
Oh, interesting. Maybe you should. Okay.
Because remember, Benedict had the reel in front of him?
Okay. Interesting. Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
That one makes more sense than your other thing.
Yeah. That one makes a little more sense. Did you guys like Benedict?
I liked the actor. I thought it was really interesting how he used the glass eye and how he made it flavorful with all the changing.
Oh, I have a question about that glass eye.
Yes.
He comes back to the mob boss's mansion, to his room, and he takes the eye out. And it's a glass eye. It's a round eye.
Yeah. Right.
And then when the camera looks at his face, he has his eye.
It does?
He has two set of eyes.
Oh, no.
How does that glass eye fit in there?
Interesting.
Did you catch that?
No, I didn't catch
that. I'm gonna show it to you too. I have it on my computer. After this, I'm gonna show it to you.
Okay, we'll put it on the website too. We'll put it on the website with this episode. Interesting.
He has two fucking eyes.
Okay.
They don't even attempt to like play with the camera to put him in the shadows. He's just staring at the TV with the eye. And you can see the eye. And you can see the pupil and everything.
Interesting. Do you think in that world, do you think you can push the eyeball back? Do you think that's how it works for them?
I liked his he's a Brit.
So yeah.
Of course he's badass.
Yeah.
But I loved his, hello Toto when they go to the daughter's place.
Yeah.
He goes, just know I have killed people younger and smarter than you. He's such a badass. You know who was originally going to play him?
Who?
Ian McKellen. Alan Rickman.
I don't know who that is. Alan Rickman.
Hans Gruber.
Oh, yeah.
It would make sense. Quest. I would love to see him in a younger role other than the what he's so famous for right now.
Who?
Hans Gruber.
Rickman?
Yeah. Alan Rickman.
Well, he's kind of young in Die Hard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In that one, he's young.
He started acting like in his late mid-30s.
I know.
Oh.
But I'm saying is, even though that's how we remember him, I would love to see him make other works at around that time.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Because now all I see him is Snape.
Snape?
Yeah. It's kind of sad. I mean, everyone loves him, but I wish I would have seen more of his younger works.
Yeah, I as far as the villain goes, I mean, he was okay. I don't think he was.
Oh, I really liked him.
He didn't seem very sinister.
I loved how he always corrected the mob boss.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like you're doing a whole 360.
Yeah.
If I was doing a 360, I'd start back, right back where I started.
Yeah. So and he's like, huh? Cool.
Yeah. I also have a problem with his eye, and the level of explosion which he packs into his
that last
eyeball.
One. The last one at the end?
No, the first explosion.
The first explosion takes
at
like
his
three
daughter's
blocks.
House.
Yeah.
It had a mushroom cloud like it was a fucking
yeah,
nuke.
Yeah, exactly.
And then this next scene, it cuts to Arnold and Danny just with dirt on them.
Yeah.
And the this boss is just ripping them out. Yeah. And I'm like, this fucking little glass eye is equivalent to a nuke?
Right.
And everyone is okay?
Yeah, okay. So that is the first explosion. Second explosion on the roof is a much smaller explosion.
But it's the same object.
It's the same object.
It's the same size.
So he's got different eyes with different capacities of explosions, I'm assuming. This one just explodes on impact. This one you have to churn a little bit. You have to churn. You have to make the words make sense. Put a sentence together and it explodes.
Possible.
And why would you... So why...
That's in your face at all times. That
why
is super dangerous.
Why would you
keep
it on you?
Yes.
Why do you slip and fall?
Well, right.
Every single one of his eyeballs supposedly has explosives in it because...
Exactly. So if somebody punches you, a bird flies in your face, then you explode.
Death wish?
This is horrible. It's bad.
Instant death?
No.
I'm working on something.
All right. Stupid explosions.
Remember the scene where he writes on the notepad, Danny, and he says, say this word. And he's like, I'm not going to say it. He goes, exactly. You can't because this is a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
This movie's rated PG-13. All the fucking death and violence. And this movie's PG-13.
Have you seen the old movies?
But he's a little wrong. PG-13, you're allowed to say one cuss word.
Well, yeah. I think there is one. I think I feel like the chief said fuck at one point.
You got to get out of the goddamn city hall. I feel like, yeah.
That was it.
I feel like somewhere in there he slipped in like a fuck or something.
Yeah. I think at one point he said fucking something towards one of the end of the rounds. One of the end of the things.
And that was it.
Slater! And the glass broke.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the cat, do you know who voiced the cat? Can you tell who the voice was?
DeVito.
Yeah.
It was DeVito.
It was DeVito, man.
Oh, I was going to say something like that.
You going to say DeVito?
Oh, and one reference I never got until I was an adult was the cop, the one who betrays him.
Yeah.
Practice. He was in Amadeus. Remember? He killed Mozart.
Yeah.
And he goes, who? And I was like, as a kid, I was like, Mozart? Like, what the fuck does that mean? And then I saw Amadeus in high school for a class, and it was him. The actor's name is F.
Yeah.
F. Abraham Murray, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes, So then when I saw that, and then I watched this again, I was like, oh, he did kill Mozart in Amadeus.
Yeah.
Oh. Now I get it.
Okay. I was confused by the whole thing, too.
Well, he's a movie. The kid's a movie buff, you know.
Okay.
How do you get a City Hall?
Huh?
How do you get a Carnegie Hall? Practice. Or remember that other stupid line?
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect, or something stupid when they get to the hotel?
Yeah. A lot of crazy one-liners right there. Yeah,
so many one-liners. Can't remember them all.
That scene was ridiculous, though, on the roof of the hotel. With the big fat guy. They stuff him with nerve gas.
I was like, nerve gas? And then all of a sudden
there's this intricate plot like, oh, the military base got raided last night. No wonder it's possible to believe that they stuck it in the guy. How the fuck do you know that? You're a city cop. How do you know about an army base being robbed?
Maybe he has taps on with people there. I don't know.
That hotel was sweet. Ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to go to that Hyatt Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't even know if it's like that up there.
No, it has to be.
Back to your question about how you might know things, there is a possibility in the movie called Clue. They have
what?
It makes sense.
No, go ahead.
They had an army general that would trade secrets with
Colonel Mustard.
Yes, yeah. Colonel Mustard would trade secrets with I would believe it was Scarlet.
Mr. Green.
Mrs. Scarlet. And for information and such like that. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe how he would have gotten the information there, too.
Mm-hmm. You know Miss Peacock died last week?
How old was she?
On Hollywood Babylon.
Who did it?
They were talking about celebrities who died.
In which room?
She got slapped the most in that movie.
She wouldn't stop screaming.
I had Mr. Green? To stop her.
But back to the last ad.
Yeah.
Again, like Tango and Cash, this guy's the most recognizable cop in the city.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He wears it's been shown he wears the same outfit every single day.
Right.
In every single movie.
Right.
And he strolls into a mob funeral. Mm-hmm. And no one just,
It's a ball cap. He's wearing a ball cap.
Hey, Jack, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Jack? And then only when he picks the body up, that's when all the fucking mob guns come out. I'm like, he's Jack Slater. Just take him out there.
You just realize now? He forgot?
He forgot what the most popular
cop. The only guy not in funeral attire.
The only guy not in black.
Yeah.
And how did the mob get a chopper so quick? Immediately when shit started going down, the mob just...
That's
Guido, get Johnny two fingers in the chopper.
But doesn't it always happen like in the movies? You just like cuts to like it happening. I think that's what they were playing off of.
I keep overanalyzing the movie world too much. Yeah. Because it's the movie world.
Right. The pilot had two fingers?
I don't know.
Like a helicopter?
I don't know.
Get Johnny two fingers. Well, he must have been a bad chopper. I'm saying. But considering the movie and then the real world in the movie, which is the movie still, did you guys have any bad parts that you liked about that, or
no? I enjoyed the shock the Schwarzenegger or Slater had to go through to realize that this is a real world type of thing.
Okay.
And once he got into the real world, he started becoming more like a real person. He opened up about his wife and that whole stuff that she doesn't talk to me and about the kid a little bit. He talked about, I think, also.
He likes Mozart.
Right. He likes he's classical music.
Deep.
He's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gets feelings for his mom. And then, the first time I think that they play chicken in the real world, where the guy's telling him like, "Hey, you can't do that. This is not a movie world. You can't do that." And then you see the cars crash into each other.
He just boom.
That was awesome. That was the greatest. It's exactly what would have happened.
Uh-huh.
Like, but then he made sense of it. Oh yeah, I have an airbag. He doesn't. That's why I did it. Oh,
I like that they explained that.
Yeah. It's not like whoops. I thought it would work, and it did.
That made him sound smart.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, he has to be a little bit smart. He's a top cop. He's not all brass.
Because remember, he goes, the biggest, a mob drug kingpin just leaves his gates open for anybody to just stroll in.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I remember he's telling Danny, he's like, oh, that's how you solve crimes. I can't do Schwarzenegger.
That's how you solve crimes?
Yeah. Oh, all the classes I took of psychological training and you just go around and just knock on the door?
Yeah. I'm looking for a drug leader.
Do you have any drug dealers in the house?
He tells that guy.
And the butler, that agent goes like, and he closes the door.
It's like, behind the door, he's like, that was a good one. And he just walks away.
Yeah. Oh, there was one thing that bothered me about the guy with the glass eye.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he talked to the camera directly.
He broke the fourth wall. I was about to bring that up. I said, who was he talking to when he shot Vivaldi, the boss?
Yeah, no. He was talking to us. I'm like,
wow.
Maybe because he was playing with a ticket. Because remember when Schwarzenegger shot and they bring him back into the real world?
Yeah.
And remember, you can see the theater behind right. Danny? Maybe because he was playing with the ticket, he was able to see...
Possibly.
Like, our world. So maybe he's thinking, like...
But he wouldn't know that he's in a movie, though.
That's true.
He just sees the portal opening up. Yeah. Oh, that's... Instead of being like, that's weird, I'm going to talk to it.
That's true.
But he's so badass, and he's British.
Yeah.
He can't show expression. You know that.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or is Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, the actor Arnold Schwarzenegger, a prick?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't he seem like a prick at this movie?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it did that intentionally.
Yeah, I know, but like, it's funny because Jack Slater's like,
yeah.
Get off of me.
And then Schwarzenegger's like, oh, we have these Planet Hollywood. You can get some chicken wings at Planet Hollywood. And then Maria Shriver, his ex-wife now, was strange watching that.
Right?
Kept pulling him like, oh, that's so tacky. He was a prick, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you're the best, like, face double I've ever seen.
You should come down to California.
Yeah.
I can get you some deals, the coupons going, handing out coupons and stuff.
Yeah, remember Jack Slater goes to the girl at the concession stand? He's like, where am I sitting? She's like, I don't know. And he takes off his hat. Me, where am I sitting? She's like, oh, you're on the upper balcony.
Lower.
Yeah. I did like the idea. At one point, once they come into reality, the bad guy gets a ticket, and he comes into our reality. And he starts getting the idea, which I wouldn't have thought of, to go into other movies to pull people out.
Mm-hmm. Dracula and Freddy Krueger and stuff.
All these people, that I would not. That never crossed my mind. As soon as they're like, that's brilliant.
As a little kid who grew up watching horror movies, I fucking loved that. I was like, oh, shit, they're going to get Michael Myers and Leatherface.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll even grab King Kong.
Yeah.
Damn, imagine him bringing
Game Kong over right there.
But I also enjoyed it in the real world that, like you were saying, where Schwarzenegger was a kind of a prick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had all these other cameos of Van Damme showed up for a little bit.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
He gets David pushed Wayans. Over and everything.
Yeah. I enjoyed that because it kind of, they were all in on
realistic,
it.
Realistic. Yeah.
They were all kind of, the movie was fake. It was stupid. And everyone was kind of joining into like, it's fine. Stallone being the Terminator at one point. You know, he was holding the shotgun in the blockbuster. There's a lot of stuff that's like, it seems like I couldn't have imagined that happening,
mm-hmm.
where everybody's coming together. These are all like kind of arch rivals, I would say. They're all action superstars competing for the same kinds of roles.
Yeah.
And they all just kind of came together to put this together. Back in, what would you say, the 80s?
When 93.
This came out? 93? Yeah.
So just like the Expendables.
Yes. But now it's acceptable.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, because back then they were still in their primes. So you're competing against your opponent to be the best action star. Now you've already done everything. So now I'm just going to mess around.
I mean, but think about it this way. I mean, if you look at it, if you cameo in someone else's movie,
mm-hmm.
doesn't that give you more press?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why I enjoyed it, because it showed it's not expected. For them to be there is kind of like, okay, they're giving a thumbs up to this thing. They're acknowledging the fact that the movies they make are stupid,
or
and they're making fun of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's just cool to me.
I understand that, but what if the real meaning behind it was that the reason why they're putting themselves in there is they're getting their face in someone else's movie.
Okay. For just a brief second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they get the cameo. People laugh, point, or let's say, oh, that's cool, like what you're saying.
Yeah.
And they have more respect for that person, which makes them want to watch their movies.
Right. No, okay. True. Because I did get a little more respect for the I forgot his name.
Sylvester Stallone?
He looks like Bill Murray, but he's not Bill Murray.
Jim Belushi,
yeah. Where he was talking about, like, he doesn't even like the person. He's like, I don't like him. He doesn't do anything for me.
But she
loves him, and I want to be there when that happens, when she gets all hot. It's like, and there's a lot of poking fun at Schwarzenegger.
Uh-huh.
That, in a weird way, I got more respect for him, mm-hmm. just because, like, he's poking fun at himself. And anybody mm-hmm. that pokes fun at themselves, I love it. I love it.
Okay, dude.
Well, this was his first producing role.
Uh-huh.
He was the executive producer of this movie. He had final say on everything. He chose the director, the writer, the editors, he chose pretty much all the main people associated with this movie.
That's
which explains why he got the guy who did Die Hard and the guy who wrote Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because he was trying to build like an all-star roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I enjoyed this movie thoroughly. I really did. It was cheesy, but because it knew it was cheesy and it was trying to be cheesy, then I'm all about it.
Yeah. It's like I said with the Tango and Cash episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, Tango and Cash, you know what movie you're getting.
Yeah.
And if you show me... If you make me believe that a scary movie is going to be really scary, I'm in.
Okay.
If you make me believe your world's going to be full of action, I'm in. This world made me believe I'm going to hear a bunch of one-liners, ridiculous action sequences, I'm in.
Yeah,
I don't care what they threw at me.
They went all for it, and it worked out. Mm-hmm. But the thing about like Tango and Cash, it was still trying to be a real movie, even though
it takes place in the real world.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's cheesy. It kind of knows it's cheesy, but it's still trying to like be a legitimate film. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one is just like, no, this is all dumb. It's making fun of itself while it's happening, at the time.
I have some trivia for this movie.
Okay.
When I tell you some of the trivia, your jaw's gonna drop.
All right.
But anything else we want to talk about for Last Action Hero?
I liked it.
Yeah. No. Good.
So those are your closing thoughts?
Yeah.
It's like, yep.
Oh well, let me ask you this: if you had the ticket, what movie world would you enter?
Ooh, I think I already know really your answer, Adam. Any Bruce Willis movie?
Yeah, I'm trying to think something besides Die Hard.
Well, if you landed in Die Hard, then you get like dead, probably.
No. Nope. I'd just be hanging out with McClane the whole time, chilling.
Might I suggest that one where he's a sneak thief, the where he's singing, where
Hudson
he's
Hawk?
Yeah, Hudson Hawk.
Okay,
might I suggest that one. It's a lot more easier to survive on that one.
Yeah, but it's also kind of dumb. Huh? It's a funny movie, and it's got my boy, but it.
What?
All right. Yeah. I don't live in that world. Even though I would get to hang out with Caruso also.
Oh, that's true.
The mime. Yeah. But I would think I would like to be in the Matrix. That's what we got to go to. I'd want to be plugged in and do all the crazy shit and be able to learn kung fu at a drop of a hat. I think I'd go to the Matrix. That's me. What movie would you go to, Maestro?
Huh?
If you had a golden ticket.
I have two options. Okay. One where mutants are available so I could become one.
Mutants?
Yes.
Okay.
Cause,
so an X-Men movie?
Sure, why not?
No, you have to give us a movie.
Well,
you have to give us a title.
An actual movie?
I'd like to be in an action film.
Okay, fine. If I were to choose, I would probably, as bad as it may be, the Fantastic Four movie, the first one.
Okay.
Being that is, that's how they got their abilities. I just want to be there to get their abilities too.
I see.
Okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. Right. That's it.
What would your ability be? What would your ability be?
Well, it's all random, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, what do you want? What do you got?
What do you mean?
You want to be a stretchy rock?
Stretchy. Well, actually, in number two, that's what actually happened.
Is that? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stretchy, fiery, invisible red rock.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a supervillain. Going way off track here. There's a supervillain called the Super Skrull, where he's an alien. In the Marvel Universe, there's an alien race called the Skrulls, where they're shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you like goes to webpages really fast.
Oh, no. So they genetically modified this one Skrull to be the Super Skrull.
One Skrull rule them all.
So a quarter of his body is flame, a quarter can stretch, a quarter is rock, and a quarter can turn invisible. It's called the Super Skrull.
Mm-hmm. A quarter.
Yeah, so his right arm can stretch. His right arm is rock. His left arm is invisible.
What? Just the arm is invisible?
No. That's how he was first created by Stan Lee. Uh-huh. But then as they updated it, they made it more, well, he can combine all powers.
Oh, okay.
So he can be made of rock and be invisible at the same time.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, you want your arm to be invisible. That's not going to help to, like, cut lines at Disneyland.
So yeah, you're just
what? I have no arm. I'm handicapped. Give me the front line. That's how I'd use it.
Might I suggest this? Can I restate my first answer?
Sure. Yes.
The Halo series, Forward Until Dawn.
Is that a movie?
It's a movie?
It was supposed to be a short film movie.
No, a movie.
It's a movie. That's what the ticket's for.
But it was on theaters,
it's too.
It's
not broke control.
Why not? Why can't it be? I want to be a Spartan.
Maybe you can find a movie where they're playing the game. And then, no, it's not going to work.
Okay, fine. Okay, how about this then? Pacific Rim.
Okay, interesting.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and I want to be one of those. People that control it, the Jaegers. That'd be cool. I would like that.
What?
For me?
Yeah. What do you got?
I'm a giant mech fan. That's why.
You're mech?
Mech.
Oh.
A part of me wants to enter a horror movie world.
Okay.
Be the killer.
Fuck it. Yeah. I'll enter a horror movie world
and be the killer
because I know how to survive a horror movie.
Okay.
Stay together.
I've seen him so many times.
Okay.
But the question is, which horror movie world
will answer? Yeah, he did what he did right now. I'm just a horror film in general.
Yeah. Okay, I got one. I would want to enter Cabin in the Woods.
Because you can get in and, like, anything's possible? What?
Because I know the rules to the game.
But there's an elder god, right?
Oh, shit. I want to be in the Scream world.
The Scream world. Scream? Where there's one killer?
Scream?
Yeah.
There's the two killers.
There's two killers.
Spoiler alert? No?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Scream from like 16 years ago,
get
out of your cage.
Wait, are you
know this movie better.
With Courtney Arquette. Courtney Cox Arquette.
Wow. Okay. Well, are you telling me that you would rather be in a movie, a horror flick, where there's just two random killers that just get off their jollies on like people?
Because I would know how to survive, like Jamie Kennedy's character.
But that's a little too easy, man.
Plus, Rose McGowan is hot in that movie. Mm. She's super hot in that movie.
I just think that's a little bit too easy to survive in that movie. You just have to not stick out.
Well, I don't want
to
die, so I want to go to an easy world where I can't survive.
That makes sense.
All right.
So let's move on to the next segment of the show, the Rotten Tomatoes portion. Yes. This is where I make the guys try to guess the Rotten Tomatoes score. But first, I want to hear your personal Rotten Tomatoes score for Last Action Hero.
73.
Okay. Adam?
I'm going to give it a high one because I did enjoy it quite a bit. I'm going to go 86. 86 for me.
We're kind of close.
Is that right?
85, 84. 85?
Okay.
Because I liked it as a kid, and just watching it again, it made me feel nostalgic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I get now the themes and the references and what it's trying to do. Now we're going to go to the actual Rotten Tomato scores.
Okay.
Excellent.
So do you want to try to guess the users or the tomato meter first?
You want to do the users? You want to do the users first?
Yes, the users first. I feel like users are going to be higher.
Okay. Let me hear the users.
I would think the user would probably not be as high as I was. 75, I'd say, for users.
Okay.
Why did you take my... Okay, I was going to use that number, too.
74. Or what is it, 76?
69.
42. Oh,
wow. No one understood it? No one understood it.
The users didn't like this movie.
Users is 42%.
You know, sons of bitches.
They just probably didn't know it. They don't know what we're knowing. That's pretty much it.
No, that's no excuse.
Right. And what did the Rotten Tomatoes give?
The critics, tomato meter. What is your guess? How low are you going to go?
I'm going to go 32 now based on that. Jesus.
If they're going to be that, yeah, I would say like 40.
39.
Oh, you went over, sorry.
You went over.
Oh.
Yes. So 100%. They hated it. So their critics and audience think alike.
That sucks, man.
It's a good movie.
I know.
Those are our opinions on the movie. We have lots of opinions, but zero credentials.
Right.
Now it's time to hear from people who have credentials. Reviews from critics. Do you want to hear good or bad? We'll just do good.
All right.
I know you want to hear the bad.
Yes.
Good reviews. Nick Rogers of Sweet101.com. I don't even know what this is. Driven less by mammoth ego and more by wild, unchecked id, Last Action Hero works as a riotous comedy and a rigorous case study of why we go to the movies. It's an inventive Valentine made timeless by audacious shamelessness and shameless audacity.
Holy Christ. Is this like a grammar project?
That was pretty brutal.
What? No, yeah. Way too many big words.
Yeah.
For this kind of movie, you can't use big words. It's not deep, man. This is not a deep movie.
Desid Thompson of The Washington
Actually,
Post.
It is.
Desid Thompson of The Washington Post, a legitimate source.
Okay.
Even if this intermixing of kid fantasy and adult shoot-em-up Hollywood insider jokes and cheap Arnold puns doesn't completely bowl you over, it's clever and intriguing.
Okay.
Bad reviews.
Oh, that reminds me of the one he says like something about the chickens gobbling. There's one-liner where he just like he pulls somebody out of the car. Wow, I something about the chickens. You know I was going to say that, did you?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
All right, sorry, go ahead. James Burdinelli of Real Views says the pulse-pounding, sizzling pull of a Die Hard is absent.
Hmm.
So he's saying it's not like Die Hard.
It's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Levy of EmmanuelLevy.com says, joyless, tasteless, and soulless. Last Action Hero can't decide if it's an actioneer, a comedy, or a spoof.
It's all three. Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah, what the hell?
So the first
website doesn't mean you mean anything.
Yeah, exactly. So the first guy says that, yeah, it's not like this movie that I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, it's a different movie. Move on. Then this one right here, Toxin is saying they can't choose between all three.
Well, it's all three.
Exactly.
That's why you can't choose, because it's all of them.
Yeah.
Want to hear the last bad review?
All right.
Roger Ebert.
Ooh.
Of the Chicago Sun-Times. There's a lot of action in Last Action Hero, but the underlying story never, ever quite works.
The underlying story? I think it makes a lot of sense.
What doesn't work? They went into a movie. It's a crazy
went into
premise.
A movie world.
Yeah, and then it came out, and they're trying to get back.
What? Is there a metaphor for life in this movie?
What's happening here?
Well, maybe it was Ian McKellen.
Yeah, see, well, that didn't make sense. If that's an underlying story, why are the Grim Reapers there? No sense. Doesn't make sense.
Trivia.
Okay.
This is part of the show where I throw out trivia at the guys.
All right.
Okay. Where do I want to start? Okay. Just after Frank's house explodes, his second cousin,
right,
the black cop says, 2 days to retirement, as a nod to Danny Glover's character in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
At that point, you can hear a soundtrack excerpt from the Lethal Weapon theme in the background, that jazzy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cute. Okay.
In the film, the characters are able to enter and leave the movie world via a magic ticket, which is credited to famous stage illusionist and escapologist Harry Houdini.
Yep. Right?
However, in real life, Houdini was firmly opposed to the idea of supernatural powers and spent his time debunking fake spiritualists and phony mediums.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that old man...
Interesting.
Didn't like magic. Yeah.
I don't like that old man at all. I don't like him at all.
He wasn't even in most of the movie. He's fine. Just leave him alone.
No, he bought way too easily into the premise. Ah, the movie ticket works. I knew it. What do you mean you knew it? You had no idea what the hell the thing was about. I'm going to go see Greta Garbo.
Well, he,
That was creepy, man. That was creepy.
This film was nominated for 6 Golden Raspberry Awards.
Yeah, Razzies.
Worst Picture. Worst Actor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Worst Director, Worst Screenplay. Worst New Star, Austin O'Brien, the kid. And Worst Original Song, Big Gun by AC/DC. But it did not win any.
Okay, good.
It was nominated.
Good. It should have been nominated. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, don't nominate that.
No.
It's already a Razzie. If you know, now I'm confused. This Razzie is supposed to be a bad movie, and this is trying to be a bad movie kind of thing.
Yeah. It knows it's bad.
Yeah.
So it embraces the fact that it's bad.
So how
then it should have won then.
Because it's an ultimate bad movie. Because it knows it's bad. It's right. Trying to be bad.
Right.
Here's the last piece of trivia that's going to make your jaw drop.
Uh-oh.
Steven Spielberg was signed on to direct this film.
What?
But dropped out at the last second to do Schindler's List.
Oh wow.
Wow. That's a lot of range.
Right. Well, it's Steven Spielberg, man.
Yeah, but I mean, wow.
He dodged a bullet right there.
Yeah.
Because that was his first Oscar. Schindler's List.
That's why. Oscar.
Interesting.
See, that I did not know.
It's like, I was going to order a pizza, but instead,
I'm going to have this lobster.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, you're telling me I can have a bag of Skittles or a prime rib? I'm going to go with the prime rib on this one.
Well, what if you're allergic to red meat?
I want a filet cartoon cat. Bonkers.
That's it for today's episode.
So next, you look like a farmer. Here's a couple of acres.
Next week, we're going to be reviewing They Live, John Carpenter's classic, starring Roddy Piper, Keith David, and some other guy who's very well known, but I don't know off the top of my head.
That's fine.
Watch it. I think it's on Netflix. It might still be on Netflix. If not,
okay.
There's
hit the red box.
No, it's not on the red box.
No.
Oh, damn it.
It's an old movie. Dude.
It might be on Pirate Bay.
Find your nearest Blockbuster. Shh. Oh, wait.
Don't talk about that site. Maybe. Blockbuster's no?
Yeah.
Wait, you know what? Netflix, you can probably rent the DVD.
No.
That's true. That's but most people don't have the
I didn't
DVD
say that was not right. The
just,
option.
Just find the damn movie. Go find the movie,
watch
it.
Find the movie, watch it, and then...
We're going to find it, so you can find it.
And then we're going to discuss it.
Christ.
We're going to find it?
And if you have any requests, Adam,
yes.
Where should they go?
Spoilers at ratpackpodcast.com. Send us your emails of movies that you would like us to review and or spoil.
Or just feedback.
Or feedback.
Comments.
Oh, yeah. That's
questions.
True. Tell us how awesome we
concerns.
Are.
Concerns.
Did we skip anything you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Were there mistakes we made? Anything. What are your thoughts on our parallel film universe? Is Rocky II Stallone different than Rambo Stallone? Are they in their own separate worlds? Chime in. So until next week, this is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Adam.
Bye. Going in the morning, and I'm zoning. They say I'm possessed. It's an omen. I keep it 300, like the Romans. 300 bitches. We're the Trojans, baby. We living in the moment. I've been a menace for the longest, but I ain't finished. I'm devoted, and you know it, and you know it. Stop all that coon shit. Life. Early morning cartoon shit. Life. This is that goon shit. Fuck up your whole afternoon shit.